Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk about the latest scams and the other things to watch for with our consumer protection experts today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Sandy, great to have you back.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Yeah, Michelle, nice to see you as well.
Well, thanks for having us again.
They are with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Come by once a month to help you and I stay clear of fraudulent offers, of scam artists, and other consumer pitfalls. And maybe you've been a victim of one of those scams. Maybe you have a question about something or other, that phone call or whatever you've gotten recently. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Summer is certainly one of the big travel times, and it can get expensive. I was in Canada last week for that golf tournament, and the tickets are kind of expensive. But what about these free vacation postcards we all get in the mail, Sandy?
We've had several cases about those lately, and usually they pitch a deal that seems almost too good to be true, and they may create a fake website that looks legitimate using the names of real hotels. I remember we had one not too long ago that featured celebrity endorsers, quote-unquote, like Robin Leach. But anytime what you get one of these vacation rental or vacation club websites, really take a careful look at it before you give your money. Ask a lot of questions, because from what we've seen, a lot of these are scams, and the deals they offer are no better than you could find for yourself on a third-party website like Expedia or Orbitz or one of those types of websites.
So, you know, I'd rather go to one of those websites where I kind of know the site and have had some experience with it, pretty much.
Yeah, you have that experience, so you know what to expect, and you won't be disappointed with that in the end. When you get one of these postcards, you have to be careful that the old adage, if it's too good to be true, mm-hmm. it probably is. I mean, those postcards say that free, but what's free? And all of a sudden you're paying for taxes, or you're paying to claim this, or it's not the dates you need to travel. It's not really the hotel. There's overflow, so now we're going to book you here. You need to be very careful about what it is you're winning, if it's really associated with the names on the postcard, or what kind of sales pitch you need to attend while you're on vacation, and how long that will last.
And you know, I've never looked into this, but timeshare, people are... Friends of mine have gone on and gotten involved with either people renting their own timeshare out or the timeshares themselves. Are there issues there? What should we look out for there?
Well, one problem that we've seen a lot of lately are these timeshare resellers. And some, if you have a timeshare you're happy with, that's great. But there are a lot of people who are looking to get rid of their timeshares, which can be difficult. And so there are some kind of on the fringes companies that will offer to resell your timeshare for you. And we've had people send thousands of dollars to these crooks. Mm. And, of course, they never come through with the sale they promise.
So that's not so good either. So... What should we do to make sure the place we're staying at is legitimate? We aren't going to be disappointed when we get there. Just to kind of sum it up.
I think one of the things you need to do is call ahead. If you book a reservation winning your prize, get confirmation of that through whatever travel company might be offering the prize or whatever entity that may be. But then call ahead to the hotel. Go to that hotel's website and look around. Check reviews. Do that as well. Confirm all the reservations and every step along the way. I know you sometimes engage in these things, so it's all the work's done for you, or it's free, and now it'll be fun and easy. But that can lead to great disappointment. So check it out up front and don't pay until you get confirmation and things.
You've had an experience, a bad experience in that area. Certainly love to hear about it. 1-800-642-1234 or any other question you might have in the consumer protection area. Great to have you along at 1-800-642-1234. Email in at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And let's go to David in Middleton next with a question. Hi, David. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for taking my call.
Sure.
Recently, there was a story on Channel 3 that spoke about malware software in regard to online banking accounts. And just by merely logging on, you can somehow give your information away to potential problems. Do you know anything about this and what's being done and how should you approach a resolution? And I'm going to hang up and listen if that's okay.
Okay, sure thing. So malware out there. So if you're on your computer or your phone and you go to your, you know, as there are things, I'm pretty sure there are things out there, aren't there?
Yeah, this is one of the reasons we warn against clicking links in unsolicited emails or looking at emails that appear to be from a bank or financial institution very carefully because they are very easy to fake. But if you do click a link, usually what happens is that malicious software of some type is downloaded onto your computer, and that allows a criminal on the other side to track keystrokes and in that way get passwords and capture your passwords, user IDs. And once they have that kind of information, of course, they can drain your account. So this is a real basic for consumers in today's day and age to very carefully look at emails before clicking any links or responding in any way, downloading attachments, anything like that. The other thing you have to be careful about is that your security software is loaded up to date. That it's just critical that your computer is protected today.
Mm-hmm. So Sandy's going through the parts you can control, and then there's parts you can't necessarily control, and that's what hackers may be doing to try and attack businesses, small, large, and obtain information. And one of the targets, you know, is through banking systems. And so the part of that that you can control is making sure you know what their privacy policies are, making sure you're at their banking website, all what Sandy just talked about, and not clicking the links, and talking with your bank about what security measures they have and updates and everything that they're doing, and they're being as responsible as they can be. They're highly regulated, banks are. But if it's another company and who you're doing business with, know them and what they do to secure your information.
Yeah, another thing a consumer can do that's also equally important is change passwords frequently and make sure they're strong and complex.
Yeah. Even so, I remember watching a news feature, and I didn't remember the show, unfortunately, but the guy was talking to, he was talking to one of these professional hackers, and the guy says, I can probably get in your bank in 5 minutes. And well, I'd like to see you try that. It wasn't even 5 minutes, and he was into the guy's bank account. I mean, it was just so scary to see that. You know, he had the exact, well.
That is scary, but at the same time, don't make it easy for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob in Madison up next. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to go back to the vacation rental.
Sure thing.
Their houses, yeah. And we encountered a scam with our property. We own a bed and breakfast in Madison, Wisconsin. And we advertise on Airbnb and vacation rental by owner. And what has happened is someone has taken the listing off one of those websites and put it on Craigslist. And we found out about it because somebody had the wherewithal to find us on the internet and call us, call our number directly, independent of the number that was listed on Craigslist.
Wow.
That listing has reappeared two or three times since.
And so, and Craigslist, you obviously contacted the Craigslist people.
Right, right. But we're not constantly searching Craigslist
right.
for the false advertisement. So it just, again, buyer beware, and of course, Craigslist, even more beware.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bob. And let's comment, Michelle.
Yeah, we try to talk about the rental property scams, the car sales scams, and some, often they're facilitated, the scammers are using Craigslist to do those, where they're taking and being an imposter and posting an ad and redirecting consumers to them. They never are available to deliver a key or to deliver the property, and people send their money. So that was a great consumer with on the other side that notified the B&B, because on the consumer side, be suspicious of different ads. If you can't go see the property, if you can't get the keys, if you can't confirm information, and look for an independent website as well if it's a rental property to see if that's available out there. But reporting it to Craigslist, if you're on the end where you are having the ad falsified, or if you see it as a consumer so Craigslist can take action. But this becomes a broader topic for the business side of it, and even consumers, monitoring your digital footprint, making sure you're searching yourself for your property to see if others are doing anything with your information out there.
It's terrible. Bob, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. It's good to, for people to know. And it's great to, if you're buying something like that on Craigslist, you ought to be checking like those people did and go to the website. Everybody has one now. Find that website and make a contact. Frank and Woodruff up next. Frank, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This is not a scam question. It's more of a consumer rights question I have.
Sure.
As a small business owner, I do rent a lot of equipment from local hardware stores and from abroad and have them delivered. And my question is, if I rent a piece of equipment and I spend the time to go to the hardware store, say, pick it up, or and then bring it out to a job site, which in this area could be an hour, 2 hours away, and then I get it there and the equipment doesn't work, and then I got to drive 2 hours back to have them work on it, or, if they don't have something to replace it, they simply give me the money back. Now I lose the man hours. And as a small business, every penny counts. And basically, all I do is get the money back, but I lose that day of work. And should there be some kind of an agreement where if, they should ensure that their product that they're renting me is functioning? And
Yeah,
what do you do there?
All right. Thanks for calling. I can certainly see the issue. I guess as the business owner, I'd want some sort of something like that in a contract. But
absolutely. So if this is a company that you're regularly renting equipment with, you may want to make an arrangement like that, where your contract stipulates those types of issues and potential losses that you would suffer for the failure to perform, that the product doesn't work.
Yeah, you could probably just make your own, have your own statement and have them sign that statement and, give them a copy, keep a copy. Unfortunately, otherwise, it's not really...
It's probably not in the standard agreements that exist out there for renting stuff. So it would need to be a special arrangement.
It's more to protect them than it is the person renting.
Yeah.
So,
the other idea is to test the equipment right there before you take it away and see if it's working and operational at that moment in time you're picking it up, at least, if that's not happening, to do that.
And in most cases, you can do that, but with something like a sander or something like that, it'd be hard to
do. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Give a call. Open lines get you on pretty quickly. Again, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Miller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your wallet today, consumer protection issues with our two guests, Andy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Questions, comments, experiences, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page titled The Larry Mueller Show. John from Iowa called to ask if all the hair-growing products are fraudulent. It sounds like John may have run into a few that haven't worked very well, but you have no idea of knowing that. But what happens if you... You know, you get some hair growing product and it doesn't work. Is there a, can you complain?
Sure, you can complain, especially if there's a money back guarantee that's not being offered, honored, or something of that nature where you have a return policy and they're not honoring that. Then consumer protection can get involved. If there's some extravagant claim and that's not happening, but many of those commercials are very careful in what they're saying.
Right.
So it's going to depend on the representation made and what's actually happening. But you can file your complaint, and we'll always try and mediate them as well.
And we've got some other callers coming online here. 1-800-642-1234. You know, school, actually my daughter's out of school already, and her best friend is at a different school and is going to be out in about a week. Kids are going to be spending more time on the internet. What are some things that parents should be aware of when it comes to that? Now, you know, my daughter's 12, but if she wanted to, I imagine she could say she was 18 on the internet, for example.
Yeah, one thing you should do is take a look at the parental controls on the devices they have. A lot of game systems have very specific parental control options, like disabling internet access so they can't access an online chat. And some allow you to set a time limit, you know, which is valuable. Mm-hmm. But most kids now, I think, just play games on their mobile devices. And so there are a number of parental controls available there. Also, you can usually restrict the content by age rating. And by all means, especially if you have younger kids, disable the in-app purchases, because kids are tempted, you know, by the game design to buy tokens or whatever that allow them to keep playing. But, you know, parental controls are no substitute for that chat, you know, face-to-face chat with your child. And you should be asking them what games and apps they're playing and what, you know, what you have decided is okay for them to do online. And how to deal with inappropriate online behavior. And that's just a really critical chat for every parent to have with their child.
I don't know how many videos of little cats I've seen. Emily watches those. And those are fun.
Sounds pretty safe.
those are pretty safe. I even like to look once in a while. Sherry in La Crosse up next. Hi, Sherry. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to share a story. This happened several years ago, but it happened again yesterday. Several years ago, I was at work. I got a phone call from some kind of office supply store and said, "We got a great deal on ink cartridges, and we see by your records that you have this type of printer, and we can give you a fantastic deal and ship that to you tomorrow. Just give us an invoice number." And very high pressure, she just kept pressing and pressing, and I'm like, "I don't do supplies. I can't help you with that." And she just kept pushing and pushing, and finally, well, I got yelled at, let's put it that way. So yesterday, completely different venue, I don't work at the same place, but they called about light bulbs. And I said, that happened to me several years ago. But I just wanted to share that's going on so people are aware, because they're very persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a one that's been around for a number of years, and it always targets small businesses and nonprofits, churches especially. And these crooks are counting on the business or church not having good internal controls. And so they're counting on you just saying, oh, well, okay, well, I'll pay that without going through the usual approval process. We've also heard this in connection with Yellow Page listings. So that's very common. That's something that business owners should talk to their staffs about and know that they should not approve a purchase like that over the phone. And we've had a number of those cases. A lot of these are cross-border fraud that originate in Canada.
Actually, I had a friend who's works in a small business and got a bill for that in the mail.
Yeah, and they're counting on you just paying it without really looking at it or talking to other people in the office to see whether it was actually purchased. So, you know, small businesses, churches, nonprofits, this is a scam to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Sherry, thank you. Appreciate the call. Otis and Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Otis.
Yes, I'm calling because I get these phone calls all the time on my cell phone. These people that come out, they are credit card services, and they want to offer me a better rate on my credit card. Well, as soon as I ask them what credit card are they representing, they hang up on me. Can she elaborate on that?
Sure. So they hang up.
They absolutely do if you actually get somebody. A lot of times it's an operator or Carmen or Rachel are some of the names that are used. And we'll lower your interest rate. If you don't answer, they don't leave a number, but that's why they're calling. And they're trying to get your information by Otis asking a question. They didn't know how to react, or because it's an automated prompt system, it just disconnected. But they often have a press 1 to talk to somebody, or press 9 to get on our do not call list, and they're just trying to get your information. And we want you to just hang up the phone. Don't press the buttons and engage in the conversation or providing any of your information. Don't ask to be removed from their list by pressing 9, because you're really just triggering that you're a live number that responds to the calls, and then you could be put on a lead list or a suckers list where it's just going to generate more calls. They're going to turn around and sell your information to others, but they're just trying to get some of your personal information, because they would ask others, okay, which credit card are we having trouble with? Give us that number now, and all that information from there, and what's your social security number potentially would come next, and now what do? You've turned over all that information.
Yeah, there we go. There you go. Otis, thank you for calling. Dan in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. See, I'm curious if your guests might know. I use Microsoft Outlook.
Okay.
And if I get an email from someone that I don't know, or a suspicious-looking email, if that email appears in my preview screen, is there any risk? I don't open them, but I might scroll over them so that I can see the preview and then delete them.
If you do that, I don't think there's any problem.
Yeah, the ones that we've heard about, you have to click a link or click an attachment, and that is what downloads the malicious software.
So I think you're good to go on that.
We have heard about... We've talked about ransomware in the past, where your computer is locked up and you're asked to pay a ransom to free up your files. We have heard that you can just land on a web page as you're browsing the internet and download that virus, but that's a little different than previewing an email.
Yeah. Good luck, Dan. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. That preview is one of the reasons for it. Allows you to do that without, you know, clicking on anything. Kathy in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking it. I was just wondering if there's any recourse I can take from a person that I noticed a $309 charge when I was checking my bank account, and it happened to be from a carburetor company in New York. And they gave me the name of the guy that ordered it, his address, and his phone number, which I couldn't get through to. And he was out of Las Vegas and ordered the stuff, and I never lost my debit card or anything. It came right out of my state, right out of my checking account. And then, of course, I canceled that debit card, but I have his name and everything, this guy that ordered the stuff, and an address where it was supposed to be shipped to. Can I report him somehow?
Probably not the actual person, but or may not be. I don't know, Michelle. What do you think?
Yeah, you dealt with your debit card or credit card company, and you, through that process, give them all that information, and their fraud investigators will track that and see if the person's legitimate and look at it that way. That's going to be the best way to report that information, because they'll work with law enforcement then if they're on the type of fraud and compiling all of that.
My debit card company told me that this guy never did any wrong, that there's really nothing that they could do about it, that he didn't commit a crime. I said, well, the money came out of my account, which shorted me, of course, and consequently other things, you know, bounced. And so for him to say that he didn't commit a crime, I just don't understand that.
Well, I don't either. I don't think that's correct.
Didn't act like they were going to do anything about it. So I don't know, but they do have the information, but he didn't sound like he was going to, it was a big deal.
You know, if that happened to me, what I'd be doing? I'd be looking at other financial institutions.
Yeah,
what I'd be doing.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
That's what I'd be doing.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kathy, for calling. I mean, wow. And we didn't mention, well, we didn't know the financial institution, so just as well, we didn't mention that. Dan in Fountain City, what's on your mind?
That would be me.
Yeah.
I was a snowbird down in Texas last January, and I was trying to get into something on my Macintosh computer. Of course, Macs never get viruses, as you know. Mm-hmm. Well, these pop-ups just continued. And I started clicking them off. I didn't want to look at them. And all of a sudden, this mother of all viruses came on. It wouldn't let me do a thing. I ended up taking it to a Mac. His name was the Mac guy or whatever. And he said, yes, you got this virus by clicking off the pop-ups. He said, from now on when that happens, just grab your pop-up at the top and push it to the side where you can't see it, and it'll go away when you restart your computer. So $200 later, he had to completely wipe my computer, and it works beautifully now.
Very interesting.
Well, we've talked about the different pop-ups that have with the ransomware and making it seem like they're going to hijack your computer. And with the other systems, the Control-Alt-Delete and logging off or restarting your machine in that instance. And when it comes back up, not going back to the day's session, going back to a previous day's session to prevent anything from being loaded or getting caught in any type of trap. So I would probably, instead of moving it off, get out of it right away, if that's mm-hmm. the truth, because you never know if you're accidentally going to click something because it's off screen and you kind of forget about it. I'd probably end my session and then restart it again.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I'm not that familiar with Macs, but you should have your pop-up blocker turned on anyway, so that that way you control whether you want to see the pop-up or not, because we've heard over and over about these pop-ups being laden with malicious viruses.
Yeah, and frankly, it's, you know, I have the blocker on my Mac, and as it turns out, it's rare that I need to turn it back on again for something. I mean, it's almost, seemingly for me at least, almost never. So better leave it off, unless you really need it. And if you need it, then you can go back in and turn it back on and then turn it back off again.
Right.
There you go. Oh, Dan, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. What about you? Question? Have you had an experience, not so good experience in the consumer protection area that you want to talk about? Did you get scammed or has someone tried to scam you? 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We've had the IRS scam going. I suppose it was a lot worse in March and April. But any twists or turns to that one?
Well, even though tax season is officially over, for most of us, those calls are continuing. And I'm sure all your listeners are aware of what we're talking about. We have heard a variation lately on people getting a call from somebody who claims to be from the IRS saying, you need to pay us your federal student tax. I don't know whether they're targeting students or whether they're calling everyone and just hoping to catch a student. Of course, there is no federal student tax, and this is just another variation on the same thing. But they'll ask you to pay by wire transfer or some other method that's really difficult to trace back. So again, if you get one of these calls from somebody claiming to be from the IRS, just hang up, because everybody's going to continue getting those fake IRS calls until they don't get money from us anymore. And until then, they will continue.
Oh, and people are still falling for it, apparently.
Yeah, they are. It seems like every week we hear from one TV station from somewhere in Wisconsin about another victim. And unfortunately, it seems to be in the many thousands of dollars that they're out. And chances are they're not going to get that money back.
You know, one of our callers just mentioned tech support. And the FTC has an ongoing court case against tech support scams?
Yeah, they do. And they've found a number of companies that they are in the process of taking through their proceedings. And they just added three more defendants to that case. So these latest three were operating out of Connecticut and Pennsylvania. So I think the others were in Florida. So there is action going on against these tech support crooks. And let us hope that it continues, because that is the IRS calls and the tech support calls right now that are really driving people crazy.
Let's turn to Paul next. Paul and DePeer, your turn. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Hello. I received a letter in the mail stating that I had received a free gift certificate from that I can go to any store, Walmart or whatever, and I should call the number that to verify that I received it. Anyway, I called the number, and the operator guy says that I'd have to give him my Social Security number. And I said to him, why should I do that, you know, for a gift certificate? And he gave me some reason. I forgot what he said. But anyway, and then I hung up, and then I called Walmart, and they told me that didn't exist. There was no free gift certificate there. You know,
yeah. So you did the right thing, Paul, for sure. Well, you probably shouldn't have made the call in the first place, but once you made the call, he did the right thing, right, Michelle?
He did. We see variations of this, whether it be emails or text messages, and now the mail, where it's get a free gift certificate, $100, $500. It's really popular before the holiday season as well. And it's just, you have to answer all these questions. Take this survey, fill out this information. And again, they are just trying to bleed you of your personal information so they can go get at you another way. And one of the schemes they use is likely, well, you're getting something free of value, so reporting for tax purposes sometimes is the twist that they put as to why they need it. But if you've won something, it's free. You don't have to give your information. So just do not click on those links. Don't engage in those mailers or emails.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Peg in Rice Lake, it's your turn. Hi, Peg.
Hello there. I have a telephone scam, I think.
Okay, what is it?
A male voice on my phone asked if I had a security system. And I said, no, just a dog. And he didn't seem very interested in that. And when he quit, he didn't say much else. When he quit, he said, well, he said, we don't cover your area. Oh, yeah, it was some kind of a freebie deal he was offering on security systems or a benefit of some kind. He said, we don't, he asked for my zip code. And when I told him, he said, well, we don't cover your area, so I guess I can't help you. Well, then when I hung up, I thought, wait a minute, this guy has my phone number, my address, and the fact that I have one dog.
Yeah.
But I don't like that.
Yeah.
I value my dog. Don't want him shot.
Well, I hopefully was not going to get shot, Peg, but comments, Sandy?
Well, my first question is whether she's on the no-call list.
Are you on the no-call list, Peg?
I have been, but it might have expired without my knowledge because I've been crippled and sick, and I'm not keeping up on things as well as I used to.
Okay.
I think this is one where we'd like to hear from you by filing a consumer complaint. And you can do that by calling our toll-free number. It's 800-4-
Wait a minute. Unless I can get to... Oh, it's so unhandy to be crippled. I have to get to a phone and find something to write it down on and with.
Well, we'll give it now, and then we'll say it. You go ahead and look, and we'll give that number. What is that number? We'll repeat the number.
Yeah, our toll-free number is 800-422-7128. Or you can file online at datcp.wi.gov.
All right.
So I can think of a couple of things that may be going on here. There are a number of home alarm companies that typically go door to door in the summer months selling their home alarm systems, and it's usually a pretty high pressure pitch, and we've had a couple of cases against two of these companies because they promise more than they can deliver, and which is against the law in this state. So that's what I'm thinking this is. But if you're on the do not call list, they shouldn't be calling you.
Exactly right. Peg, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so that number is 800.
I haven't found anything to write with or to write on.
Can you go online, Peg?
Yeah.
If you just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, we'll post that number up, and you can get it that way.
Okay, because that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of scary. And really, the folks here at Consumer Protection really want you to follow up on this. So you go to my website or my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. And Jill Nadeau, my producer, is going to have that. Well, we already have it up, I think. We have the number up, and we have a link to... the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website. So good luck, and thank you so much for calling in. And please do follow up on this. Let's go to Diane in Chippewa Falls now. Well, Diane, we'll get to you in just a minute. I got to remind everybody that we are talking consumer issues today with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers, Michelle Reinen. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. I said the Ideas Network. Well, the network is there are some nuts out there that are working on you, and they're trying to work on me as well and steal money from us. Consumer protection is on our minds today. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests, they come by once a month. They're on next July 7th next month, so great to have them here. And phone in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Diane in Chippewa Falls up next. Diane, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. I believe my email address was sold to different marketers or whatever because I suddenly started getting a flood of, I would call them junk emails, And always at the bottom of an email, there's a place where you can unsubscribe. Is that a good idea, or is that just signaling that I'm a live person, have an email address?
Signaling that you're a live person? Is that what you say? You're going to say, Michelle? Or?
No, it depends. If it's coming from a legitimate company, it could take a few attempts because of how they rejuvenate the email addresses. But as long as it's taking you to a real location and company to unsubscribe, it should be okay. But watch that. Watch where you're going. Watch the path.
Yep. There you go.
Good. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. John in Marshfield, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
This is quite similar to the previous caller about security systems.
Yeah.
My mother received a letter requesting the last four digits of her Social Security number, plus a copy of her license, her driver's license, to be sent to this company. And I'm kind of suspicious of people requesting that type of information. Is it legitimate? Is that a common practice? Or should the person be a little wary of that?
I would be wary, wouldn't you, Michelle?
I am wary. I'm sitting here being wary. I would file a complaint because I want to see this letter.
Okay.
I want to know who's doing this, and I want to see this. So if you would go online and either fill out an online and submit the letter, datcp.wi.gov, or call 1-800-422-7128 and have a form sent out.
Okay. We did, my mother is 91, and she went to the bank for that, to have that service, the copy of her Social Security number and a driver's license made, and the tellers are in Marshfield that are at our banking location. They suggested that she not do it, plus then they called me, so
good for
them. I guess having someone else keeping an eye on things is pretty helpful also. It was a very, very, very well appreciated move on their part. So, and one other thing, with those credit cards you purchase at, a big box store, they request your Social Security number when you activate that credit card. Is that standard? Is that required?
If it's an actual preloaded and you can reload card, some of them do because they have the protections of Visa and MasterCard, and some types do not because they're just the way they're preloaded and not reloadable. So you may want to shop around and understand the terms of each of the ones that you'd be getting.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'll get that information to you right away.
Thanks a lot for calling. I much appreciate your call. I was thinking about bills on credit cards. I get, I'm really pleased with my credit card company. I have one sort of, well, it's a monthly bill, but because of the nature of the bill, it changes a little bit. Sometimes it'll be 2 or 3 months in a row, it'll be one figure, and then it might be $10 more the next month. And I'll typically get a note from the credit card company right away saying, check this because this is a different amount than what you've been paying. Which I view that as a wonderful service.
That's great.
Yeah, and they have a lot of employees who are looking at what's going on out there as far as the scams and how they're evolving, just like we do. And they're staying on top of it for you, which is great.
Yeah, this is wonderful. John in Partyville, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi there. Good morning. Say, I've had about 65 of these nuisance calls, one trying to help me consolidate my all my credit card debts, which I don't have any credit cards, and help me with my warranty on my car and different things like that. And I copied them all down and called the National Do Not Call list several times, and they keep on pestering me just like I'd never called the Do Not Call list, and called the Verizon, which I'm a member of, number, and got after them, and then I finally got a hold of this Federal Trade Commission number, and it's 202-326-2222, and he wanted to know the last few numbers and dates and times that I had gotten these pesky calls, and I really laid it on him, but, you know, it sounds like these people that are pestering you have some rights, but I says, well, I got my rights, too, not to be disturbed, and so on. Well, okay, then he gave me a reference number, and about 3 days later, I get another one of those, so I call again and get a lady and give her my reference number, and, yeah, she sees I called in and everything, and I laid it on her, too, and since May 20th, I haven't had a call.
Wow.
So I think that's the ticket right there, is to pester these guys at the Federal Trade Commission to have them clamp down on, you know, because I told them, I said, I do not want to be called ever. You know, I'll look for whatever information I need. I don't need anybody pestering me.
Well, John, thanks for calling. It's amazing to me that you were able to get that kind of service. I wonder if it's just a coincidence that it stopped. They stopped calling, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if another random group starts in on you as well. What do you think, Sandy Chalmers?
It probably is coincidence, and those calls are pestering everybody in this country right now. But he makes an important point that if you do have the time and energy to report the calls you're receiving, it's very, very helpful to us. And we share information back and forth with the Federal Trade Commission. So we see the complaints they get, and they hear from us on trends that we're seeing as well. But if we don't know what's going on out there, we can't take action against it. And we talked earlier about the FTC's case against these tech support companies. It's really important that they hear from people so they can track down these crooks and put them out of business.
Hmm. John, thanks again. Kendall in Oconomowoc, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Kendall.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I have a couple of different issues, and I'll try to make this really short because I know you guys are busy. I have veterans, which I give to all the time. They have been calling me, like, three times a day and constantly and saying, and I did give money to them once. And they continue to call me and tell me, you know, that, you know, give me, they want my account number and blah, blah, blah. That's one of them. Okay, then I have Blue Cross, Blue Shield call me at least four times every 2 days. And I'm crippled, and I was in a terrible car accident with a drunk driver. But anyway, I have insurance and everything else, and I've told them that. I said, stop calling me. You know, I have Medicare and blah, blah, blah. And they continue to call me, and it's from all over the country, you know. And I thought, this doesn't sound right. And I had the IRS thing that, you know, the rest of the country had, too. You know, and if it's anything real, it would come and pay on paper, you know. IRS doesn't do things on the phone.
No.
And the other one is... this happened to me 17 years ago, and I'm on total disability, and somebody I had was Chase Bank, and I was paying insurance to have my money protected, and someone went in. I used on the computer, and I don't use a computer anymore because of this, and it's a shame, but. They went into my savings account and stole $7,000, and which I was saving for a car. And they also stole my Social Security check. And they left me with $19. And, you know, I have a cat and an African gray parrot, you know, which, you know, it's expensive to maintain, but it doesn't matter. $19 for a month. I mean, let's be real. So I called Chase Bank, I talked to them, and you know what they said? And I was paying insurance on this. They put their hands up in the air, and they said, oh, well, you know.
Oh, well, that's not the best answer, is it? Kendall, I thank you so much for calling. Here's somebody with a whole variety of issues. Blue Cross, phone call is number one.
Yeah, the first thing that causes me concern are the so-called charities that are calling her.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of legitimate veterans charities out there, and there are a lot of fake charities that use the veterans' name to get people to give because, you know, we all care about veterans. But this high-pressure deal where they're calling her multiple times a day, that's a red flag that tells me that this is not a legitimate charity. And she should just not take those calls anymore. The Blue Cross Blue Shield calls, that's puzzling. And we're looking at each other trying to think of what that might be. She could ask them to communicate with her through the postal mail, and yeah. that might give her the information she needs to determine whether these calls are legitimate or not.
So those, so there's a few things, Kendall, that you should kind of do. You know, if you can at all just avoid answering. I don't know if you have a caller ID. Even that isn't always a, you know, the number changes around a lot, and so forth. But if you lay off the phone for a few days, maybe they'll go away. I doubt it, but it's worth a try. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, our guests today from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We're going to take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we will be back with our guests. You stay with us. We'll be right back. You know, there are some scams that are kind of seasonal in nature, and then there are some that are, unfortunately, 12 months of the year, 365 days a year. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at all kinds of scams today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They stop by every month to help us stay clear of fraudulent offers and other kinds of scams. You can join in. I think we have an open line at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And Joe in Duluth, Minnesota up next. Joe, thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for your guests there regarding compensation. Once you're on the do not call list and you still get calls, whereas the callers have obviously ignored the warning that's given, I was under the impression that there is a method by which you can go back to those callers and obtain compensation for their ignorant or their ignoring your call. I wonder if your guests could address that.
I haven't heard about that.
Well, the Wisconsin Do Not Call Law has a provision for a private right of action if a consumer takes that. He's in Duluth, and so the Wisconsin Do Not Call provisions wouldn't apply there. He'd have to look to see if Minnesota has a regulation to take for the state, or then what he would want to do with the Federal Trade Commission if he's just falling under the national Do Not Call list that way and proceed. And the FTC website would have that. But it wouldn't be a direct contact with the company where it's then awarded by the company. It would be through an action.
And the problem is, the main problem is, you don't know the company. I mean, it's probably oftentimes they're fake.
Yeah, good point. Tracking back exactly who made the call to you
is a real problem. So there you go, Joe. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Arlene a chance. Arlene in Milwaukee, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I love your show forever and ever. I think you're fantastic.
Thank you.
And your guests are absolutely wonderful and helpful. The reason I called was last year I had purchased a United airline ticket to go to a family event on the East Coast. And as it turned out, I became sick, and my doctor advised me or told me absolutely not to fly. and I was sick for a while. United Airlines would not return the purchase of my ticket and said I can use it up to a year, at which time they also tacked on an extra $200, which I couldn't understand. To make a long story short, I still have the ticket. The beginning of this year I had a stroke, so I'm pretty sure that I will not be able to use the ticket again for the near future anyway. And I wondered whether there's anything that I can do to get back my original cost and the extra $200 that they tacked onto the ticket.
Boy, that's a tough one. Isn't it, Michelle?
It is. Weren't we talking about airlines before the show?
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
There's different classifications of tickets that can be purchased, and one of the things they make you do before you purchase your ticket is click to confirm that you understand the terms and conditions of your purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have purchased a non-refundable ticket, and that would make it difficult. The $200 is probably the change fee or whatever administrative fee they tack on for changing the reservation that you had. You can, of course, file a complaint with Consumer Protection. We can try to mediate this on your behalf with United Airlines, especially given there's extenuating circumstances. But with expectations set that we may not have success, because airlines are very good about making sure everything's very clear and that you click to confirm and know all of those terms and conditions. The other thing is trip insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, they have that as part of the website. Are you sure you don't want to insure this trip for medical reasons or whatever may happen in life, too?
It's another possibility. But
yeah,
please do go ahead, because you will follow up for her.
We absolutely will. So 1-800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov. If you want to file online. I guess another thing with trip insurance, a lot of credit card companies actually now have, if you're purchasing trip things, insurance embedded into that too. So if you purchase with a credit card online, you may want to contact your credit card company and see if there's anything they can do, at least for that $200.
I actually did it on the computer myself for the first time in my life when I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I don't do that. This time I did. And when I did it on the computer, it did ask about insurance, which I said yes to. And I thought I did everything correctly. And in the end, they told me they had no record of my purchasing insurance whatsoever. I did it through one of the travel agencies online with whatever they do. And I was sure, absolutely certain, that I had purchased that.
I'm sorry, Larry.
I was just going to say, you should have gotten an email back from them. Isn't that right, Michelle?
Yeah, I was going to say, be sure if you file that complaint, you send your receipt with too, so we can see everything that's on there as part of it, because the email confirming would say something, or the receipt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in a nutshell, Arlene, you need to get going with Ag Trade and Consumer Protection, that 800 number again, 800-422-7128, or go to datcp.wi.gov. And good luck. I hope things can work out for you. We have Don and DeForest next. Don, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Great show. I had a quick question. My fiance got a letter from the Census Bureau. It was a good-sized envelope. I really didn't take a good look at it myself. I believe the address was in Indiana. Well, she didn't do anything with it the first time, and a couple weeks later, she got another one with $15 cash in it. Now, she fills it out, and she goes to me next morning. She goes, before you leave, get that out of the mailbox, and I did. And she said there was a lot of questions she was there asking about, like her son. Like, he's in the Army, this, that, and the other thing. She said there was a lot about education, if they were going to college, they're asking. But just that $15 cash in the envelope with it, kind of like a red flag for us, of course.
Yeah.
Can you tell me anything about that? You don't know anything about that's going on, or for a scam? Or
well, if it's a census, it's the federal government. Wouldn't you go to, Sandy, would you go to the federal government website?
Yeah, that's something that I have not heard about.
I haven't either.
But if you go to, I think their website is census.gov. Okay. census.gov, and they will have a frequently asked questions area in the website. We do get a lot of questions about the census documents because they ask for a lot of very personal and private information, and you do want to make sure that it's legitimate before you send it. So I would go to the website and verify that it is from the census.
You haven't heard of this particular one, Michelle?
Not with census, but I've gotten two from the transportation, the transportation, U.S. Transportation Department. And I did look at those, and the first one was a smaller dollar value, and the next step of it, it was a four-step, had a larger dollar value incentive because a lot of people don't fill out surveys. But I don't. That doesn't mean that the next one's not a scam. So you always need to check each one out because.
Sure. Well, yeah. Who sends cash? I mean, you'd think it'd be a federal check, not $15 cash.
Yeah. But sometimes they, if they really want you to do it, cash.
Money talks.
There you go, Don. That's the way to do a follow up. Go to census. What'd you say it was again?
I think it's census.gov.
Okay. Easy enough. Give it a shot and see. I'd like to know if they're offering. Nobody's offered me 15 bucks for anything yet. Dennis and Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I would like to pass this on. Several weeks ago, you had the expert on from the University of Wisconsin Tech Department. I called in. I had ransomware.
Yes.
I tried about 3-4 things on my own. I went to Super Antivirus Company, and they were outstanding. They dealt with me, gave me 3 or 4 different ways to do it. It didn't work. Then they sent me 9 different ways to do it with 9 different programs. The 5th one hit, it's gone.
Oh.
And that company, I thought for sure when the first couple didn't work, they were going, okay, well, if you want to upgrade for $20, we'll give you this better one. It never cost me a penny. They communicated with me by email. They were just unbelievable.
Hmm.
And it is gone. And I heard the gentleman earlier talking about how it took $200 to get rid of his.
Wow. Well, is there still some, thanks, Dennis, for calling. Is there still something to be wary of here, Sandy?
I hope that was a legitimate company. If he's still on the line, I'm curious about how he found this company. If he did a quick...
From your gentleman, on from the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, from the...
So I'm guessing it's... That's
okay,
what,
yeah, that sounds legit then.
That, yes, and I'm trying to... from Division of Information Technology, our guy here from the UW. So that one I wouldn't worry about from him, assuming you typed it all in exactly correctly.
We were talking earlier about the number of attacks on us all every day through our computers and mobile devices. You just have to invest $35 or whatever it is to make sure that your device or PC is protected. You just have to have a security software of some kind.
Yeah. What was the name of yours again, Dennis?
I think it was Super Anti-Spyware.
Okay, well, we'll follow up on that. Michelle and Sandy both wrote that down, so we'll see what we come up with. And our guest from Do It, he certainly knows what he's talking about. But again, you can have something that has just a letter change or something that you don't even notice. Looks exactly like the other one except for that one little thing, and then you're off to the races. And so, there you go. Dennis, thanks. Glenn in Wauwatosa next. Hi. Hold on a second. Let me get you on here. There we go. Hey, Glenn.
Hi. I have a question about a contractor for roofing. I had a roof and gutters put on, and the roof was put on okay, but the gutters... I had them put on 5 years ago, but I went up there the other day because in the 5 years that transpired, my wife died and I had a lot of problems and things like that, and I haven't been able to maintain this house correctly. So I get up there and I see where the anchor bolts that go into from the gutters into the flashing on the roof popped out. So I called the contractor. He came out. He said, well, I'll fix that. I'll come back and tomorrow at 9:30. Well, he hasn't showed up yet, and that's been 4 days ago.
Hmm. I'd call the guy back.
I'd call him back and give him another opportunity, see what's going on. If you don't hear from him, you can file a complaint. If there's a warranty or guarantee on the labor aspect of it, we can look at that. We don't have any authority or jurisdiction over the quality of work or workmanship standards as they would relate to, but if there were any kind of representation that they'd, you know, guarantee the work for a period of time, then we'd want to follow up that way. So yeah. Give them a call.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ted, and thanks again. Ted in Toma, your turn next. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I have a kind of a comment, and you sort of touched on it today, and you do every time these people are on, but I never quite understood the significance of don't really engage with these callers. And I read a really good article over the weekend that every time you say something, it makes your call more valuable because these guys get information from you even though you don't think you're given any. And I think you should really emphasize that because it seems like a lot of the issues these people are having is because they keep trying to tell these people, no, I don't do that, or no, I don't do this, or no, that's really not, I haven't lived there for a couple of years, or whatever, and they're unsubconsciously or whatever giving people information. The more information you give, the more valuable your phone number becomes, and it's sold and traded, and that's why you get more and more and more calls, and they get worse and worse and worse because it goes to better people to try to get more information. And I really understand. It was a really good article about what really happens. You're giving information even though you don't think you are. And yeah. I guess that's my comment.
Well, Ted, thanks a lot for calling. Sandy?
Yeah, that's a great point. And a lot of these callers are actually lead generators for other companies or criminal operations of some kind. So he's right that any bit of information has value, and it could be the type of call that you responded to that generated a request to talk to a live person, or that you picked up your phone and pressed a number in response to a certain type of call. So he's right that this is all information that will be used further. But it also generates more calls because if you're interacting with a lead generator, obviously the information is being sold on and you are most likely to receive more calls.
Yeah, unfortunately. Ted, thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Lyle in Janesville, this is, I think, through our email, wonders if rental companies can charge for carpet cleaning after the renter leaves, even if it isn't in the rental agreement.
They can if there's damage, waste, or neglect to the carpet, because they can take it out of the security deposit. But if it's just for routine cleaning, they need to have a separate agreement in a non-standard rental provision that says they'll charge you after. Then they can't take that out of the security deposit. They have to charge you separately for it. So if it's coming out of the security deposit and there is no damage, waste, or neglect, you know, beyond normal wear and tear, then you should contact the landlord to address it. And if you don't get anywhere there, you can file a complaint with us.
So comment, Marcus called to say he screens calls by not picking up on numbers he doesn't recognize on caller ID, lets them go to voicemail. Most won't leave a message. That's pretty much what I do, too.
Yeah, that's great advice, and I think most of us are doing that now. One thing to be careful of, though, it's very easy for these crooks to manipulate your caller ID screen to make it say whatever they want it to say. And I've noticed lately, over the last year or so, most of the calls we get either say Madison or Milwaukee on the caller ID. And the crooks are thinking, well, these people are from Wisconsin, so they're more likely to pick up a call that looks like it's being generated inside Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I've been getting some from smaller communities, and I know darn well they're not people I just don't answer, and they don't leave a message.
Right. We get calls supposedly from Portage on a regular basis. Well, I don't think anyone from Portage is really calling us.
Yeah, exactly. Rhonda emailed to ask who she can contact in regard to negative or inappropriate experiences with health care providers? And is there a statute of limitations to file a complaint? That's probably not your area, depending.
It's not. It could be the Department of Safety and Professional Services, another state agency. You could Google them, and they may have an online complaint form or contact method that you could use, or a phone number that you could reach out.
And what about LifeLock? Somebody wanted to know if it's a good investment. I'm sure probably comment on whether or not it's a good investment, but maybe.
There are a lot of those services that are available now, and they're heavily advertised. We recommend that people check their credit reports on a regular basis, regularly check their financial statements, bills, and just monitor that very carefully. We recommend that people put a freeze on their credit reports. And if you go to our website, datcp.wi.gov, there's information on how to do that. Those are the basic things, basic services that a company like LifeLock provides. If you want to add on things like ID theft insurance and credit repair services, it costs more. But at the bottom line level, these are all things you can do yourself free. Yeah. The other thing I would mention is that if you're a victim of a data breach, which many of us are now, typically those services are offered free of charge by the company involved. So you may already be covered and not realize it.
Dick on Facebook wonders, what is Finger Hut, and why do they send him text messages saying he owes them money from time to time?
Well, I believe it's just a large retailer of many types of goods of all the spectrum.
Oh, one of those. Okay.
from the ads I've seen about it anyway, whether it's housewares or kitchenware or whatever it is. But text messages that he owes him money if he's never actually done business with them or anything, I would be concerned. I would run a credit report to see what's going on there, make sure no one's using his information, check his credit card bill, and likely contact Consumer Protection. And
yeah,
that's 1-800-422-7128, and probably file a complaint.
And in the last 30 seconds, I love to go to these garage sales. In the neighborhood, I'll always stop. But, you need to be a little smart about what you buy.
Right. And you can go online to see the list of recalled items at cpsc.gov. Cpsc.gov. Because you don't want to spend $5 for a baby crib that's been recalled.
No. Old books. It's hard to go wrong on a book that you can pick up for 50 cents. But I don't have any reason to buy high chairs or baby walkers, and I never will again. So there you go. Oh, thanks you two for coming by and being with us today. It's always a great pleasure, and we'll look forward to your next visit, July 7th.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Oh man, Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Back on July 7th. Garden Talk tomorrow. We'll talk organic gardening and farming and biodiversity and renewable energy and even farm-to-table pizzas. How about that? Stay with us now. Lots in store.